listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Browns fans, join the 100,000-plus fans in the official Cleveland Browns fan club, the Browns Backers Worldwide. It's free to join the biggest organized fan club in all of sports. It includes team shop discounts, special event invitations, and exclusive VIP experiences. To join, visit BrownsBackers.org. That's BrownsBackers.org. We are going to finish up our roster evaluations 10-1 as we finalize things on the Browns 53-man roster. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura with you here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. But before we do that, we've got one caller who wants to talk about the roster evaluations thus far, Jason. Bill, welcome to the show.
Hello.
What's up, Bill?
We got you, bud.
This is Dave.
Anyhow. All right, we got you, Dave.
With the roster evaluation, I love your show, by the way.
Thanks.
With the roster evaluation, your bottom two were wide receivers. So to me, that's a desperate need, especially when your star wide receiver has two strikes. And the quarterbacks in this coming draft seem to be overvalued, because if you put them on with 2 years ago with Andrew Luck and RG3, they're probably second or third round picks at best. I want to listen to what you guys have to say.
Yeah, I'll start. I think wide receivers a massive need, and I think they need to add at least two wide receivers. You could do one via free agency, one via the draft. You could do two in the draft. I think at the end of the first round, you'll have an opportunity to maybe get a Jarvis Landry with a Brandon Cooks or an Allen Robinson. You could go two that way with the last first pick and the first round pick of the second round. Or you could add somebody in free agency. And I think there are interesting options depending on how they want to go with it. To me, a very good, very economical option would be to sign Julian Edelman to be the slot receiver for this team. And then you make your draft pick of an outside wide receiver. And all of a sudden you'd have Gordon, an outside receiver, Edelman with Cameron. And you've got a pretty darn good passing attack there. But I think wide receiver is a massive need. Greg Little, Devon Bess, I don't think either one of them will be with this team next year. So, yes, top priority for me.
Yeah, the draft's depth. Free agency's depth, I think, just gives this team, you know,
so
excellent opportunity
yep.
to fix that position. I feel of all the spots that this team can fix for 2014, I feel the best about wideout.
Yeah, and I think it will be the easiest to fix. There are a multitude of options, as we said, drafting, free agency, combination. I think the Browns will address that. They will address it very effectively as well.
All right, let's go through with our final list here, the top 10 of our top 50 or 53-man roster as we evaluated it at the end of last season. Our final segment here, taking it from 10-1. And let's start with Ataba Rubin.
Yes.
Defensive lineman is going to fit in this spot. He missed the first two games of last season with a calf injury, but he still led the Browns D-line with 80 tackles. 45 of those were solo. Nathan, you made a point earlier that some of the young guns or younger guns like Billy Winn and John Hughes could definitely give this guy a push in Mike Patton's new scheme. Ataba Rubin's just one of those guys, though, slow and steady as she goes, but he gets the job done.
He does get the job done, and I'll be interested to see, because he truly is, I think, more of a 3-4 defensive end, very good against the run, one of the best against the run in many categories. You talked about, of course, the tackles there. He was number 12, according to Pro Football Focus, against the run. Second worst, though, at getting to the quarterback. So to me, a very solid starter, but a guy, 27, you can plug in there. But, if the coaching staff evaluates that they think Billy Winn and Hughes could be at that level, $6.3 million. His Rubin salary figure, maybe something to look at, but I'd like to see him starting. That's why I ranked him in the top 10. Obviously, he's here for a reason.
Yeah.
We feel good about his productivity, but he's somebody to keep an eye on as these younger players emerge.
Number nine,
the nose tackle. Phil Taylor could be a defensive tackle in a 4-3, the nose tackle in a 3-4. Think he made nice strides in changing there. I want to see, though, to me, if there was one thing that I was going to talk about when it comes to Phil Taylor, it's the consistent effort. I want to see the effort like he had against the Cincinnati Bengals, the game that the Browns won in week 4, every single week. When he does that, he's dominant. He eats up space, occupies two blockers, will allow, hopefully, some of the new inside linebackers to make plays. And Mike Pettine, last year, and his defensive line staff, who followed him here, of course, to the Cleveland Browns, got the most out of Marcell Dareus, Kyle Williams in the middle, and I want to see if they can do that again. He could be a long-term building block for this team, but he's got to want it.
he does have to want it. I thought he did a good job of making that transition from a defensive tackle and an even front to a nose tackle. Still maybe not ideally as much of the big consuming, blocking consuming guy that you want for that role. But the conversion was made. It's asking a lot as a young player to just kind of convert with that, and he had a key role in that. But I think he might actually physically be a better fit for the multiple scheming that Mike Pettine's defense is going to do.
I think so, too, and I think Mike Pettine will get the best. Yes.
Jordan Cameron at number eight, showing off tremendous athleticism that allowed him to reach career highs for receptions. He had 80 receiving yards, 917 touchdowns, 7. Got his first Pro Bowl appearance. Really good numbers by an excellent athlete who was allowed to thrive in North Turner's offense. They took good advantage of him. It will be interesting to see what Kyle Shanahan does with that position. We've seen history where a player at the tight end position can thrive. I do think with Jordan Cameron, it's a matter, though, now of overcoming what he's going to face, which is a whole lot more attention from coverage.
And I think there are two things to think about. Number one, the tight end position has actually been just as effective under Kyle Shanahan as it was under Norv Turner. And if you think about the fact that Norv Turner was doing putting up many of those stats in San Diego with Antonio Gates compared to the group that Kyle Shanahan got career years out of, Chris Cooley, got career years out of Fred Davis and Jordan Reed, basically back-to-back-to-back seasons. Tight ends under him average about 100. His number one tight end will average about 113 targets, 77 catches, 939 yards, 5 touchdowns. So that compares very favorably with what Jordan Cameron did last year. Want to see him to continue his development, catch the ball a little more effectively with his back to the downfield side where he squares up, posts up, uses body. Very athletic, a guy that you could lock up, perfect for this kind of pass-catching tight end in today's National Football League. And if the Browns do what we said they were going to do and what we hope they will do, and that is improve the quality of the wide receivers around, the Browns are going to be one of those offenses that have the opportunity to be a pick-your-poison. We know they're going to focus on Gordon, but other than that, if you can get another good outside receiver, a slot guy like an Edelman, or draft a slot guy and Cameron, I think you're going to see a lot of favorable matchups for those other three players that they should be able to exploit.
Number seven
is TJ Ward, strong safety of the Browns, made his first Pro Bowl, free agent. We want him to stay. He is, however, there, you know, he does some things very well, others not as well. Now, he is a great run-stopping safety, does his best work near the line of scrimmage, led all safeties with 20 run stops. Is he as good in coverage as maybe you'd want today's passing NFL? No, but does a great job in short areas against the pass. I think that he's a guy that you can either sign to a long-term deal. I'm in favor, though, of franchising him. Want to have him prove it one more year, see him maybe improve a little bit in coverage and stay healthy again and give him the long-term deal. If he shows that, lock him up in the middle of next season. But I want him here as part of the long-term plans of the Cleveland Browns.
I have no problem giving him a longer-term deal now because I don't think the safety number is so great that you're taking a terrible, terrible risk. I trust that TJ Ward, what we saw of him in year four, is the TJ Ward we'll continue to see. I think he is a really good complement for the rest of this defense. I want to see him here, and I want to see him tied up.
Number six.
Desmond Bryant, defensive end. Season got cut short by 4 games when he developed an irregular heartbeat that required a surgical procedure. By all accounts, doing well from that. And still, even with the shorter time that he was in there, he led the Browns with 32 quarterback harassments. This guy, early in the season, before the heart issues came up, was just dominating everybody in front of him. I mean, it looked in many cases like a man against children when he was out there. The size, the strength, the athleticism. I think Desmond Bryant, unfortunately, it got lost on a lot of people, just how good a player I think he could be. And once again, it's just, I think it's going to be true with every defensive lineman we talk about, but particularly with this guy, there's some versatility with his size.
Of course.
And knowing how that defense that Mike Pettine and, of course, Jim O'Neill will be running will move people around, will put them in positions where I think they can get mismatches from against blockers. I think Bryant can thrive in that.
I agree. I like him. Number six, I think, might surprise some people with how highly we do have him ranked. He was last year the top pass rusher on the defensive line, 11th ranked in pass rushing productivity. And also, don't forget, this Buffalo defensive line last year led the league in sacks. I think that Desmond Bryant will be a monster for Mike Pettine and company.
Number five.
Number five, outside of Joe Hayden, this is my favorite player on the defense, Jabal Sheard. We know he's been effective as a 4-3 defensive end. Last year, he with some injuries, still led this team in sacks. I think he is going to be an absolute monster, and Mike Pettine will make him a superstar. I think we should lock him up after the season. Keep him here. Long-term plans, Jabal Sheard will be a fixture of the Browns' defense, and I think he will be a superstar in the Pettine-Jim O'Neill situation.
Totally agree with you there, Nathan. He made a seamless transition from end to outside linebacker. I think it was stunning for some people to see just how well he did that. And look, it wasn't the most natural thing. It wasn't natural at all for him to drop in coverage. Yet, as the year went on, he was doing a much better job of that than really a lot of the other linebackers and defenders that the Browns had outside of Joe Hayden and maybe Tashawn Gibson. But he battled back from that knee injury also that cost him three games and still led the Browns with 5.5 sacks.
Number four.
Alex Mack at center, a guy that we have made quite clear we'd like to see this Browns team make sure they tie up to a long-term deal. Finally got the recognition he deserved by being voted to his first Pro Bowl. Certainly one of the best players at his position. And I think he'll be a natural in the outside zone blocking scheme of the Browns. The athleticism, but more importantly, the smarts. The ability to really take command and control and be that blocking signal caller that you have out there. Next to the quarterback, the most important guy to keeping things organized on offense is that center.
I agree. Got to bring him back. Pro Bowler, top-rated center, Pro Football Focus, All-Pro. This guy's got the goods. Now, you do wonder, how can a guy like that be a part of this offensive line? They struggled. I don't care. He is going to be fine. I think he'll be even better in the zone blocking scheme. He's smart. He's athletic. I'm very excited to see what he is going to be able to do, and I want him to be part of this Browns team. It is, to me, number one priority that you re-sign him, and it sounds like Mike Pettine, Ray Farmer agree with that, according to reports coming out this week.
Number three,
Joe Thomas, the left tackle, 7 straight Pro Bowls, would be higher if not for his age, but at 29 years of old, a fixture on the left side, maybe the best pass blocking left tackle in the game. Could, if you're going to nitpick, could get better run blocking, but Joe Thomas, a guy that would be starting on every team in the National Football League at left tackle, a superstar, a fixture for the Browns, great asset to this organization.
Yeah, seven consecutive Pro Bowls really say it all. It puts the exclamation point that this guy is arguably the best as it gets, or the best that it gets at offensive tackle.
Number two.
Josh Gordon, remarkable second season in the league. Only played 14 games because of those first two being suspended, and yet established himself not just as one of the best wide receivers, if not the best wide receiver in the NFL, but one of the more dominant players, period, at any position. He took over games. He had remarkable numbers. And the numbers, I mean, over the course of games where he put together the back-to-back 200-yard games, first receiver in history to do that, and then had the four-game stretch that surpassed none other than Calvin Johnson as a record-setting player for yards caught. This was a player who we know had all kinds of issues to overcome coming into the league as late as he did before his rookie season. And being a lost player who has gone from, and when I say lost, I mean lost in the sense of just knowing very little about what it needed to be, what he needed to be a successful NFL wide receiver, to grow into such an incredibly dynamic force. His efforts alone did so much to make what was an atrocious quarterback situation for the Browns tolerable enough to give him the numbers that he did. Didn't make any difference in the win-loss column. Obviously not enough difference there. But when you think about three different quarterbacks starting 6 different games, Josh Gordon was the common denominator that allowed any level of competence to show through among those QBs.
Josh Gordon at 22, maybe the most physically gifted player in the league. Obviously one of the great young receivers. You know the stats. The good news is he will thrive in the Kyle Shanahan offense. When Kyle Shanahan has had a true number one receiver, he has ranked first or second in the NFL in targets, led the league in receiving 2 out of those 3 years. So remember what Andre Johnson did. Look for Josh Gordon to do that and then some. Love him. Just needs to stay on the field. That's the only question mark I have about him. He will continue to develop and will be one of the greats to play the game if he can stay on the field.
Number one.
And our number one on this list as we conclude the countdown is Joe Hayden. Pro Bowler, lockdown corner, To me, I want to see him locked up so we know that he's a part of this team. And the reason I went with him number one over Josh Gordon is I think he symbolizes this Browns team. He is one of the de facto leaders of this team and a guy that is an anchor to this defense and this passing league. Shut down A.J. Green. Shut down Calvin Johnson. Torrey Smith can go against the best in the league and get it done. Had a little struggle over the second half of the season when the whole pass defense really kind of fell apart. But Joe Hayden, to me, is the guy that will be leading this team and will be very much a part and a focus when this team turns it around, which I believe will begin next season.
Yeah, the only difference I saw in terms of putting him first and Gordon second, as effusive in our praise as we are about Gordon, is this. Hayden has been doing it over a longer period. He's established himself as one of the very best corners in the league and did that even before this season. Yes, I hear what you say about the latter part of the year where there were some struggles. I do think it was part of the overall malaise of the scheme. I don't know that the scheme got as much help from coaching as it needed, by the way, and the front seven as a whole not putting on the consistent pressure it needed, and that's another area of that has to be addressed as this team goes forward. But Joe Hayden has done it and has really in year four, you know, of his career, really locked himself into a place where you look at him as one of the very best in the NFL at the position that he plays. That's why he belongs number one. He is the symbolic sort of face of what represents the best of a team that obviously hasn't done it on the football field.
Agreed, and it's his leadership. He's the one who took Josh Gordon in under his wing and helped him learn what it is to be a pro. That friendship, I think, was certainly very helpful in Josh Gordon's development. Joe Hayden, proud to have him as the face of our franchise, and I think that that will be the case for many, many years to come. One of the great players in the league, a great guy, a great leader for this team. So that's it. We've gone 53-1. What did you guys think? Anything that you would rank differently? Let us know. 216-578-0850, or did we hit the nail right on the head? It's possible that we did. Let us know, though. We'll be back with more Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.